From now through January 8, 2017, the El Paso Museum of Art will present a recent exciting body of work by James Drake, an artist with El Paso connections who has several works in the museum's collection and who has garnered international acclaim and is now based in Santa Fe. Organized by the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego, James Drake, Anatomy of Drawing and Space, Brain Trash, is a culmination of 2 years of active creation, revisiting and reinventing imagery from throughout the artist's 40-year career. Here to tell us about this exhibit is Dr. Patrick Shaw Cable of the El Paso Museum of Art. Welcome, Dr. Cable. How are you?
Thank you. Good. How are you?
Good. So this is kind of a homecoming for James Drake in a way. Will you tell us about his background and his involvement with our city?
Sure. He was born in Lubbock, but he was raised in El Paso and lived here many years. Now he lives in Santa Fe. But yes, he was really happy to know the show would be coming here. And we are at the perfect venue for it because, as you know, the EPMA has several works by him in our permanent collection from earlier in his career. And of course, by now he's had an outstanding 40-year-long career and he's internationally acclaimed. But we're like a home to him. He's a native son of El Paso and still living nearby in Santa Fe. And this really is his latest big, what I call magnum opus. He spent 2 years focusing on this project. And so it's great to have it here in El Paso.
And speaking of the works that you have, or the ones that at least that I'm familiar with at the museum, they're heavy sculptural pieces, like really industrial-looking
pieces.
Yes,
most of them are. And then some of them are mixed installation of, for example, one that's on view currently, which is nice to have in tandem with the big show we have now of his most recent work, but it's called Cinco de Mayo, and it's a drawing on the wall that's actually an appropriation from Francisco de Goya's 3rd of May, but then James turns it into Cinco de Mayo, and he adds the sculptural installation on the floor in front of the drawing of a locomotive, a steel locomotive, which references the 1987 deaths of immigrants in boxcars in Sierra Blanca. So he's really interesting that way. He's a wonderful draftsman, and he often looks back to tradition and traditional artists from centuries ago, but then he always updates it in a very contemporary way, too.
And what do you think was that interest to him? Because a lot of his work is very industrial-looking, feeling.
Yes, it is.
What's that about, you think?
Interesting. Well, that relates to some of the work in the current exhibition, which is all drawings, but he'll look at scientific motifs. He even has an MRI of his brain blown up to sort of 8 feet tall and several different scans of the overall MRI and then electrocardiogram. And in fact, I should tell you more about the MRI later. That relates to the subtitle for the show. But he's always been interested in science and philosophy, but also poetry. But then you'll see in this exhibition, too, a lot of references to nature. So for him, there are a lot of references also in the show to his past career. For example, another piece we have in our permanent collection, Tongue Cut Sparrows, from probably the 80s or 90s, that reappears in this in Chapter 8 of the current big installations. That's another reason that it's really his latest great work, because it's over 1,000 drawings, for one thing, just the sheer size. It fills the Hunt Gallery, the Woody and Gail Hunt Family Gallery. And it also provides, in many respects, a retrospective of his 40-year career because he looks back at a lot of major themes from his previous work and recontextualizes them.
And we go from these chunky pieces that we're familiar with to really now, I don't want to use the word dainty, but there's a lot of line drawings.
Yes.
Mind you, it's a whole room full of line drawings.
Yes.
So it's big and small
exactly.
at the same time.
That's another thing I like about it. He considers it, these over 1,000 drawings, a complete work in and of itself. But then he also arranges it by what he calls chapters that cover a wall. A chapter might cover a wall or a temporary wall of the exhibition space. And we have 9 out of the 10 chapters on display. But you're right, you can appreciate them as sort of this immersive monumental architectural environment.
Yes.
Kind of like Monet's water lilies, but different. but then you can, some of the drawings are a single composition on a single sheet, and then some become much bigger and cover a grid of sheets. But you can appreciate it both architecturally or spatially immersed within this world of drawings from his studio, or you can go up close and look at a portrait drawing of a Renaissance master that he particularly admired. There's one of Raphael. You can appreciate them both individually as sheets, but also on this big grand scale too.
Yes. So then my other question is, what came first, the drawing or the chapter? In other words, did he go about his business and draw and then put them in chapters, or?
That's a good question. I would say both. And basically, he has always really loved what he considers the primitive act of mark making with basic materials. He said he's never been much of a painter himself. Mm-hmm. And this was a time he had finished a project and he decided around 2012 to go back to the roots and devote himself to drawing in his studio every day until he created this massive body of work. And what's interesting, there's a system he follows, but then he leaves a lot of spontaneity at the same time, and this kind of relates to your question in terms of he would basically, in his studio, tack these drawings up. And, of course, the way they're exhibited now, too, he follows that practice where they're hinged drawings, and we had to, all of the over 1,000 drawings had to be, we used a laser level to make sure everything was really even, but we had to pin them with bead pins on each of the two hinges at the top of each drawing, and then each drawing overlays the other so you don't see the hinges of the drawing beneath it. But it kind of approximates the way he approached this project. Basically, he started with the task of drawing every day in his studio. And so he used standard size sheets, but sometimes different materials. Mm-hmm. And then he would use different drawing materials as well. There's a plethora of different drawing materials in the show. Charcoal, red ink, black ink, Conte crayon. Sometimes he used charts from scientific journals that he incorporates as his collage elements. But he basically would usually pin left to right, top to bottom, and start. And some days he would spend a whole day or 3 or 4 days on one drawing. And some days he would be really inspired. And then some days he would be quick and maybe do 5 or 6 drawings in a day. But he set himself the regularized task of going in the studio every day to do this. And then some days he realized his inspiration worked differently than other days.
Right.
So this also was very much a stream of consciousness kind of procedure for him. So one drawing would lead him to something maybe that he had never thought about. But to get back to your question also in terms of compositions, so some of the sheets are just one drawing on a single sheet, and then others you see he's decided to expand the drawing to the next sheet and make it a bigger design.
Oh, maybe once it was up, you think?
Yeah. Well, and then in some cases, like the MRI at the end of the show, those cover like a whole grid of sheets. So you can tell by then he decided, I'm going to plan a composition. So it was some of both, where he might plan this overall grid is going to become a big composition.
Right.
And then other times he thought of it more of as an individual composition on an individual sheet.
Okay, so you teased us with the MRI.
Yes.
Now I got to ask, what are the details and how does it relate to the name of the exhibition?
Well, as viewers will see, he uses texts quite a bit here and there, whether his own text or his own drawn text or appropriating collage elements from scientific journals. But he started with an electrocardiogram. He wanted to see what his heart would draw for him and incorporate it as a collage element. So the readout from an electrocardiogram. But then that inspired him. He said, well, what would my brain literally draw? So he went to the radiologist and he said, I need an MRI because I want to use it as visual source imagery.
What did the radiologist say?
Well,
that's the
perfect question. And James loves to tell this story. But basically the radiologist, after he did the scans and gave him the visual imagery, you know, the printouts of different scans of the MRI, he said, well, we're going to have to call this file brain trash because otherwise the administration is going to ask what's wrong with this patient.
Oh, right.
And James said, that's perfect. And he said, because that's what I'm doing in this project. He said, a lot of what we think about is trash and a lot of it isn't. And I'm kind of letting my mind wander.
Well, it is this kind of dumping of imagery. Thoughts, right?
I mean, exactly.
It's 2 years of what's in my head and just putting it out there.
And then for me, he's at the perfect point in his career, 40-year-long career. He's internationally acclaimed now. That it makes perfect sense, and also just letting his mind wander and revisit his life, revisit his art, and come up with new things, sometimes completely new themes. And then also his mastery of draftsmanship.
Right.
It's just reminding us he can draw like a Renaissance master. He can draw in the scientific, technical, realistic manner. And he really lets himself go that way, too, in this exhibition.
It must be hard to be good at everything. And it sounds
true.
Weird, but then
yeah.
How do you pick something, right? I mean, I guess we would have
good
to
question.
Ask him. How do you pick what something's going to be when you can just kind of... It's harder, I think, to have it all.
Maybe. And as I said earlier, he's already admitted he's never considered himself so much a painter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another reason why I'm glad he did this project, because... It reminds you, drawing is, he's in his element when he's drawing. Similar to the sculpture that he does. And often he combines the sculpture and the drawing.
Are there any elements of sculpture to this piece in particular, other than it does encompass a whole room? So you could, in theory, be inside a sculpture.
No, nothing per se sculptural. There are a few, and he enjoys that aspect also. As I said before, each sheet is pinned by hinges, with bead pins to the hinges that are on the paper support. And then they're pinned in a grid. And then some of the media of the paper, like vellum or cotton paper. Some of the paper might curl a little mm-hmm. in humidity. And then there are a few where it's been cut, so it's kind of hanging over to the side. So he likes that element. He doesn't want them framed. He made that very clear part of it. And I think that's part of, to approximate again, the way he envisions doing this in his studio,
right.
where just the basic act of drawing and pinning it on his wall and looking at it and then going to the next drawing. He's even said, in terms of themes as well, just as he was following a stream of conscious method, he enjoys viewers not having to decide, well, what does that mean there? It can mean a lot of things, and part of what he wants is the viewer to bring their own associations so that things can have more than one meaning. And it really covers an encyclopedia range of themes like art history, art, nature, culture, philosophy, culture,
and it seems like
poetry.
The kind of piece that you're going to find something new every time you walk
exactly.
in there.
Exactly. Especially when there are over 1,000.
Okay, now I have to ask. It's 1,000 drawings. You said they're very specifically pinned. What does the plan look like, or you as an installer? How does that work? I can't even imagine how you're going to take it down. There's got to be a complicated system for this.
Yes, it will take a while. Maybe not as long as it took to hang it. But that's a very good question.
Did he develop that plan for you all, or did...
We developed it in collaboration with him.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he came back and spent the over a week and a half that we needed to install the whole thing. And we had contract help labor, which was great, too, because a lot of local artists, like Mario Rojo from UTEP, Maylin Peng, they actually, we contracted them, and they were able to work side by side with James
what
on this
an honor.
Installation. And so they kind of came up with a system... Because they have to be very careful, too, to
right.
pick up these sheets of drawings with the special gloves and make sure they don't wrinkle. And then if you think about the really tall part at the top of each chapter, you have to get up on the lift. So it's delicate, and also it needs to be done methodically because you need to get 1,000 drawings.
It's like algebra, right? One affects the other one. One impacts the
yes.
other one.
And then, we originally looked at a three-dimensional model of our space in consultation with the artist, and we all agreed, well, this chapter, one of the chapters, is taller than the others because of the way the artist planned it. So we put it on a special wall that was very much an anchor wall. And then the MRI chapter is very bold in design, so we put it at the end of the exhibition.
So you kind of walk and you end with the brain.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Today my guest has been Dr. Patrick Shaw Cable, and we've been talking about the exhibit James Drake, Anatomy of Drawing in Space, also known as Brain Trash, that is currently on exhibit at the El Paso Museum of Art. And you really do need to do yourself a favor and go down there and check it out, because it's a whole room of specially curated, placed drawings by one man, so we can see what brain trash looks like in a whole room.
Yes. Exactly.
Thank you so much, Patrick,
for
coming down and telling us, and we'll see you at the James Drake Show.
Thank you.